Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And Denise, today we're celebrating the end of Earth Week here on campus. And the big thing that's going on right now, well, right here at the station, of course, is our Spring Pledge Drive. We're in day number one. So if you've already made your pledge to KTEP, congratulations for being one of the first to come in. But if you've been helped on Good to Grow, maybe on one of our live shows in the past, or you've just learned a lot by listening to the show, I know I've learned a lot just from being on this show, give us a call at 747-6789 and make that pledge to KTEP and get us closer to that goal. But as I mentioned, it is Earth Week, and also right across the station from us, maybe you're thinking of dropping off your pledge and maybe going to the plant sale, which is going on right now across the street right here from the radio station. The native plant sale being held by the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens here at UTEP. It's kind of a madhouse. Plenty of plants still available. So come on down. And Denise, we're going to be talking about some of those plants.
Right. It's definitely the season event that people always look forward to is that plant sale. And there's always this general buzz. People are excited right now. The weather's been warming up really well, and you get excited about planting some new plants into your yard. So there's definitely a lot of people there to help you answer questions. They're called the plant pros. So take a look out for them. Everybody has, all the volunteers have their little vests on, but the plant pros are the ones that are going to know all about the plants and help you find the perfect plant. And there's a little rule that we all like to follow is the three P's. So you want to get the right plant in the right place for the right purpose.
And I've been guilty of not doing one of those two or three P's. We were talking before the show, I used to have an Apache plume, which, by the way, is going to be offered at the native plant sale, which is kind of a large shrub that's got sort of these plumish-like flowers. And not realizing how big it was going to get, we put it in the wrong place. So it ended up having to be sacrificed at a certain point in my landscape's lifetime. But That's a very important consideration to make when you're purchasing a plant.
Right, exactly. And I think that it's one thing to fall in love with a plant because it's beautiful and you're attracted to the flowers or to the fruit or the great foliage that it comes with it. But really, you have to look at that long-term investment because you're really going to carve out a space on your property, in your yard, to be able to enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, the last thing you want to do is have to, you know, hack it off. And I, too, am in the neighborhood to also get a replacement plant. It's been taking me a while, but I've finally decided that I am going to replace my Mexican bush sage, which is a salvia. And it was a really great plant for me. And it took very little water after I established it, but I did lose it in the February 11, 2011 freeze. And I think enough time has passed that I've missed the plant in its location. And I really just kind of put it outside my window when it's outside my dining room window. So it's a very, very showy area. It gets just enough light that it needs to be able to thrive and to be able to bloom. The one thing that I did enjoy about it was the fact that it has the purple flowers on the long, long stalks, and it also really attracted butterflies and hummingbirds to that area. So for us, sitting at our dining room table, looking out to see the little habitat and the little wildlife out there was really nice. A nice spot, and I'm going to take my chances again, and I'm going to go forward and you know that I need to protect my plant a little better if we do and have a deeper freeze like we did a few years ago.
And I think that's one thing that you do, and maybe some other people do that, maybe some of us don't. You actually gave it some thought. In this case, about 4 years worth of,
right?
But a lot of us, we go into a nursery or maybe even into this native plant sale and we buy on impulse, where I think these plant volunteers are going to really come in handy to give you more information on that plant, which you might not be able to get at a nursery or a home improvement store that has a nursery in it, where you're not going to be able to get that in-depth knowledge of, well, you're buying that plant because it's nice and it's an impulse buy, but what's it going to do for you in the future?
Right, exactly. And that's really one thing people need to really look at and to really consider on that. The one thing that I don't enjoy is when people just buy things because they're on sale or because they have this kind of false sense of security when, you know, larger garden centers put a one-year guarantee on them. Well, let's not treat plants as being disposable things. Let's make sure that we get that right plant and and be able to put it in a place that's going to be able to grow and to thrive. Now, everything has a life cycle. Everything is going to complete its own life cycle, and plants are going to end up dying. And that's just a reality. But the more that we can do to extend that entire lifespan, that's where we become those stewards of that environment. And we're talking about Earth Week. That's really where we need to look at. Native plants are very, very showy plants. I mean, they will just explode in different colors and different seasons. And when we're talking with John White in the past couple of weeks, you know, we talked about the seasonal changes in your garden right now. And right now I know that all the chocolate daisies are in bloom. Mm-hmm. The penstemons are in bloom too. Completely different colors. And then they'll kind of die back. And so you want something else to kind of come in later in the summer to be able to do that. The salvias all do that, and they certainly have a wide assortment of different salvias available for you and all different ranges, but they're usually a large shrub. One particular thing to kind of think about also is people like color, and they want to be able to do that. So when you get your stuff like your penstemons, and I know that you have wonderful pictures of penstemons out there, and they just kind of take over and
yeah,
fill up an area.
You actually have to keep them from getting too weedy, because I know that usually in the in-between seasons after the penstemons have gone to seed, they really go to seed like crazy, and they're going to end up growing where you probably don't want them to grow, like maybe along the edges of the sidewalk or along a pathway. So don't feel bad about sacrificing a few penstemon. You know, the old line of Spock from the Star Trek movie comes to mind, where it's like the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Right.
So it's okay to make that sacrifice for those penstemons that are growing where you don't want. And that goes for just about anything.
Right, exactly. And don't be afraid to kind of pull it up and transplant it.
Yeah.
You know, the best chances for transplanting survival is when the plants are still small. So it's still in that little rosette, that just little small vegetative state, little few leaves. You know, pick it up and put it somewhere else.
And, you know, we were talking about last week when we did our live show, we thought if we had a little extra time, you'd share maybe a wish list of some of the plants that are on sale at the Native Plant Sale. What's on your dream list here on the plant sale?
Oh, well, definitely. I'm really a big fan of the Anisia canthus, which is also known as the Mexican flame. And really, for me, it's not just about having a bush to kind of green up an entire area. It's to really provide that wildlife habitat. I think that's really an important way. You know, we see a lot of artificial things where people put out hummingbird feeders that are just kind of right in the middle of nothing, or a bird bath in the, you know, in the middle of the sun and no water in it. But we don't realize that just by getting a couple of plants and putting them nestled in a corner in an area, that's going to automatically create a wildlife habitat. Mm-hmm. And it's not a lot of input on our behalf. It's just getting those appropriate plants. If you're looking for something that's going to attract butterflies or hummingbirds, always look for those trumpet-shaped flowers. And those are what those types of insects and birds completely love, because they're able to get that nectar down that tubular flower. So look at that. All different colors are wonderful, great. Some people, they want to really either go for the cool colors, that's going to give you more of a smaller, more intimate feel, or those bright flashes of orange and yellows and red. Those hot colors are really going to brighten up an entire area and actually make your space look even bigger. So kind of keep those things in mind. And then that way you don't have to have an artificial environment for trying to attract this wildlife.
So, you know, you have your other smaller flowers that aren't trumpet shaped, that are, you know, like your Angelita daisies or your desert marigolds or your chocolate flowers. And they do attract other kinds of pollinators that might not be as flashy. Some of them, you know, may even look like little flies. And, you know, even by planting those, you are still adding some benefits to the environment.
Right, exactly. And when I gave a presentation to a elementary school earlier this week, I said the first thing you need to know is know your bugs, and know which ones are the good bugs and which ones are the bad bugs, because 9 out of 10, it's going to be a good bug and it's not going to be interested in you. And that goes with all of the pollinators too. Our Texas mountain laurels that are just finishing up carpenter bees. Mm-hmm. Really love those guys. But those bees look intimidating.
Yeah, people freak the heck out when they see those bees.
Yeah, because they make a lot of noise.
And they're huge.
And they're huge. So definitely, they don't care about us. Just let them do their business and let them go along. Because if you want to enjoy those scented flowers every year, then you gotta let those pollinators do their job this year.
That's right. So don't be intimidated. So what else is on your list here?
Oh, definitely. One of the things that I like that I think is underused in this area is the guara. It's also known as the butterfly.
Like a whirling butterfly.
Whirling butterfly is a common name. And I really think it's a really nice, dainty little flower. The bush itself kind of gets about 2 to 3 feet at the max, but the flowers are little small white four-petaled flowers, and they just kind of like flow in the air a lot, and they do really well when they're together, like in a mass planting, because you really get that effect of a meadow, I think, if you will.
Yeah, they almost look like the flowers are floating because they're sort of growing on these very long stems. So if you get, you know, a nice breeze, it just looks like they might be like little butterflies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then they'll go ahead and bloom the entire year. And then, of course, once they'll die back in the winter time. But that's also a really great plant to choose from. And a lot of times when you talk about native plants, you know, you kind of see this more of an informal garden, if you will, with a lot of flow and a lot of, you know, branches and just free-flowing, I guess, garden, and not really so much of a formal mm-hmm. garden that you would. But really, in that case, that would be the agaves, I think, are so striking. They're yeah. so symmetrical, and the way their leaves just kind of whirl together. And you can choose all different types, whether they're the, you know, bigger tooth agaves or even, you know, smaller agaves that will send out pups, which are just the little offshoots
yeah,
and little
babies.
Yeah,
it's nice to know you can always have more
yeah,
without having to go out and buy them.
Exactly. But those look really striking, especially in a very xeric part of your landscape.
Yeah, and there's a really beautiful example of an agave there at the Chihuahuan Desert Garden. So if you go to the plant sale today or tomorrow, you'll be able to catch one that I think it's an agave that's sort of adjacent to University Avenue, right across from the geology building. If you were to stand in front of that agave, you see the geology building, and it's a really beautiful agave.
Right. Yeah, it definitely is. And there's, if you need a list of plants available for that, they'll definitely have those online at the Centennial Museum homepage, or they'll also have this entire great document there with them, so you can use that to shop around as your guide.
And the native plant sale is going on until 4 o'clock today, and then again from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow. And I know, Denise, you're going to be at the native plant sale working as a volunteer tomorrow, so maybe people can come and pick your brain.
Yes, please stop by.
And, of course, KTEP will be around to take your pledges of support. So maybe if you're going to be picking up a few plants before or after you do that, come by the radio station or right across the street from the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens and come by and say hi and drop off a pledge of support. And thank you so much for your support of Good to Grow. We want to thank DJ Orozco for being our engineer for today's show. And we want to thank you for listening. Thank you so much. My name's Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.